This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's sunny, blustery, cold today. High temperature of 36, overnight low of 21. 33 degrees right now with a wind chill index of 21.
President Trump expected to formally announce he is moving the United States Embassy to Jerusalem and saying that is Israel's capital. We'll take his announcement live here on News Radio WBBM. The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Let's kick things off with a look at Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, no sudden moves on Wall Street right now. Investors have all three averages playing just below the flat line. The Dow is down 3. The NASDAQ down about a point. The S&P also down about a similar amount. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is falling a third of a percent, led by a 3% drop in Knowles shares. The air went out of the averages after President Trump said, yes, there could be a government shutdown on Saturday if Congress cannot agree on a spending bill by then. Back to you, Chris.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, as Cisco said, we're going to be listening to the president's remarks and announcement. Also today, $1 menus are back, what's behind the trend, and we're looking for a strong jobs report from the government on Friday.
And also, millennials, how have their spending patterns changed 10 years after the financial crisis? And Ford, this one's going to be fascinating. Ford actually wants people to be able to buy cars out of vending machines. Have to be really big vending machines. We'll figure out about that. And loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Markets are flat today. The Dow Industrial is off a fraction of a point. NASDAQ about down 0.1%. And the S&P 500 also down by a fraction. WBBM News Time, 12:20.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The ADP report on private sector employment out today, along with a look at worker productivity to help us break down the data. Diane Swonk, economist and founder of DS Economics at DianeSwonk.com, based here in Chicago. Diane, let's begin with the jobs numbers. 190,000 added in November. Is this a solid number?
We're looking for about 180 out of the official government report, but it is a solid number. I think what we have to keep in mind right now is that we do have one thing that's unusual, and that is we have acute trucker shortages, and that is already going to mean some delays on some of those packages that you order out there. And also retailers, although they're hiring up for the holiday seasons, not as much as we've seen in the past. And that could show up as a perverse decline because the data is seasonally adjusted. And that's because, of course, the move from bricks to clicks. We do know that retailers want to provide service out there, and they do want to certainly staff up, but they're not quite as aggressive on that staffing up. So it means longer waits and lines for most of us who actually do venture out to those malls during the holiday season.
Had some swings because of the hurricanes in regard to hiring. Are we starting to see that stabilize?
Yes, that's a very good question. We saw over 100,000 come back in the leisure and hospitality sector last month. That's why we had the elevated to almost 265,000, I believe, jobs that were created. About 100,000 of that was just in leisure and hospitality alone that were hurt by those electricity outages we saw in Florida. They got back to work. Those workers, that will come down a bit now that those workers are back to work and we had that catch up already behind us.
Diane, we talked to you about the economy and not the markets, but I'm just wondering, as an economist, what do you think as you watch Bitcoin break above $12,000?
Well, I think Alan Greenspan is best to quote on that today. He certainly came on and said, listen, we know that people bet in casinos all the time, even though they know the odds are against them. This seems like something that's a little odd to me, and I know a lot of people have made money, and it has the same kind of feeling that the tech bubble did.
All right, Diane, good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. Diane Swank, economist, founder of DS Economics at dianeswank.com here in Chicago. Up next, latest numbers from Wall Street.
WBBM News Time 12:25, a look at the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, Wall Street's fallen flat. The Dow is down 7 points. The NASDAQ is up a fraction. The S&P is falling a fraction. The problem may be the calendar. Investors seem to be worried, strategists say, about the possibility of a government shutdown on Saturday if Congress doesn't pass a spending bill by then. The stock averages had posted some small gains that went away after President Trump warned there could be a shutdown at the end of the week. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And we have lower prices across the board led by soybeans, good, better weather, more moisture projected for South America, especially Argentina and Brazil. And we have December corn down a quarter at 339.5. It's two off its low, two off its high. We have March down three quarters at 353, three off its high and two off its low. Beans for January down 9.25 at 999.25, 3.25 off their low, five off their high. The Marches are down 9.25 at 1011. That's 15 off their high and three off their low. Wheat for March down 6.75 at 426. 1.25 off their low, 7.5 off their high. U.S. dollar for December at 93.55, up 22. Bonds for March at 154.09, up 18. Feb hogs down a dollar at 69.50. Feb cattle down 135 at 119.17. And the January feeders at 146.05, down 177. Feb gold, 12.66, up 130. Silver's down 10 cents. And grains lower across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are sluggish today. We'll see what's impacting the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday. Members of the millennial generation haven't forgotten the financial crisis that began 10 years ago.
Ford is reportedly set to enter a partnership that could lead to its selling vehicles through auto vending machines.
City of Chicago reaches a settlement with a man who was wrongly included in the police department's gang database and arrested by federal agents.
President Trump recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. A special report from CBS News is just ahead.
Markets up fairly flat. The Dow down 7. The NASDAQ up a fraction. S&P 500 down a fraction.
33 degrees in Chicagoland as we head to a high of 36 today. Overnight, some clouds with a low of 21. And tomorrow, high of just 29 degrees and a little bit of sunshine tomorrow. It's 12:31.
CBS News Special Report.
It is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
President Trump announcing that a short time ago at the White House.
This is a long overdue step to advance the peace process and to work towards a lasting agreement.
The president is ordering the State Department to develop a plan to have the U.S. Embassy relocated to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, a process that could take some time. White House correspondent Margaret Brennan says there were concerns over this shift in U.S. policy.
When it came to the Defense Secretary and the Secretary of State, they were first and foremost worried about the ramifications for those key Muslim allies who are going to be alienated by this decision.
A reaction from the streets of Jerusalem.
I think he waited too long. He should have done it immediately when he became the president.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a statement, urges other nations to move their embassies to Jerusalem. CBS News Special Report. I'm Dave Barrett.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:32. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by GWC Law.
Well, the dollar menu continues to draw customers into fast food restaurants. Let's talk about the strategy with Phil Lempert, a founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Phil. In part, we're talking about psychology, aren't we?
We are, Chris. There's no question about it. And also, we've got a model out there that really we're starting to see the fast food places follow, and that's the dollar stores, whether it's dollar stores itself or 99-cent stores. Keep in mind that 10, 12 years ago, they only sold everything for a dollar. Then what they did is they started up it for $2, $3, even $5. So having that banner that says dollar menu is huge for McDonald's, but they're adding $2 and $3 items as well. But the dollar, it's going to get people in the stores.
So you end up spending $6 or $7 because you wanted that dollar treat. That's a pretty good way to make money.
It's a great way to make money. And keep in mind, not only for McDonald's, but all these restaurants, they make their money on French fries and soft drinks. That's where the huge profit is. So they could give you a burger at cost, but if you're buying, you know, a burger and fries, they're still going to make money. And it's all about psychology, and it's all about how they're going to promote it. And McDonald's isn't the only one. You know, Wendy's now has their $5 meals. Carl's and Hardee's is promoting their $5 meals. And it really comes at a very interesting time, because especially if you look at what's gone on in Chicago with the more upscale burger restaurants like Red Robin and Smashburger and Five Guys and Tom and Eddie's and Muya. I mean, they've all closed stores. So what this really does is it sends a signal to these chains that people want cheap burgers, but make your money elsewhere.
And is there a sign that the franchise owners for McDonald's and some of these other restaurants are now on board? Because I know when the dollar menu first came out, some of them didn't like it.
You know, Cisco, you're right on the money. They've been fighting it for a long time. They're the ones that really have the profits being eaten into them. But they finally realized they don't have a choice. You know, this is the way people are going to buy. And if they don't offer it, they're going to go elsewhere and they're going to lose business.
All right, Phil, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles.
Stocks are fairly flat today. Let's see what's going on. Michael Palumbo is joining us, founder of Third Millennium Trading, author of the book Calculated Risk, based here in Chicago. Not much movement on the markets. Mike, what do you see going on?
Good afternoon, Cisco and Chris. Yeah, actually, there's been really no change in the overall indices. We've got small caps down small, but other than that, everything's pretty much flat. I think the biggest story is that Bitcoin keeps going up every day, and really there's no earnings news of note, and so the market volatility itself has been pretty muted.
What do you make of it? You mentioned Bitcoin. What do you make of this? It's now it popped over 12,000, yet it's still something that most people don't even understand.
Well, yeah, it's relatively new. Actually, in the tech realm, if you're in that space, you have some knowledge of it. But yes, you're right. The average investor, other than hearing it in the news, doesn't really understand what Bitcoin really even is.
And so what's your advice in general to investors right now, Mike?
Well, we talk about this a lot. My suggestion is, as always, to have a diversified portfolio, because right now we're at all-time market highs. I expect there could easily be a pullback from here. If there is, you want to have some bonds. You want to have things other than just U.S. stocks, some alternative investments. But you definitely always want to be diversified now more than ever, because the market is very, very highly valued right now. It doesn't mean it can't continue to go up. It certainly has been, and it's been going up all year. It's up 15% this year alone in the S&P. It can continue, but you want to be prepared for the day that things don't go well, and that could happen any day. So make sure you have some bonds, some less risky assets in your portfolio along with stocks.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation tomorrow with Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, younger adult Americans taking a conservative approach to money.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. Many members of the millennial generation appear to be showing caution in spending, including major purchases. Let's find out what's behind the conservative approach. We're joined by Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet, author of the books Your Credit Score, the fifth edition, and Deal With Your Debt, based in Los Angeles. 10 years ago, there was a financial crisis, and a lot of millennials really they really watched it all happen. Is that some of what's behind this conservative spending?
I think it's huge. I mean, they saw their parents losing their homes and their jobs. They saw a huge financial fallout from the recession, and it made them, I think, a lot more conservative, just like the generation that went through the Depression. Really never shook it off. They were always conservative. They were always concerned about, you know, being prepared for the next downturn, that kind of thing.
So what are we seeing in them? Is it delaying purchases? Is it saving more? Is it some combination, something else?
It's actually everything. I mean, there's it's a factor in some decisions to put off having a family or getting married or buying a house. Now, there's also something going on, which is development is taking longer. It's simply taking longer for people to grow up. So that's, you know, kind of factored into this. And finances could be a cause of that, or it could simply be a symptom. So we're trying to tease that out and not really sure. But in general, it's not unusual for a millennial to be scared of the market, to not want to invest, to be cautious about buying a home because that's a big financial commitment, and also to be, you know, wanting to make sure that they can afford children before they have them.
And there are trends being set. We've had people tell us that the millennials are not at the big shopping centers anymore, that is kind of changing the way people are shopping.
Well, I think everybody's shopping more from home. Any of us who have Amazon Prime know it's both the devil and a wonderful thing. So it's a new generation, a new way of approaching purchases. And again, anything that's big or that will make a real dent in their pocketbook, they're going to be a little cautious about doing it. That's not to say they don't have debt and they don't have credit card debt, but they just seem to be a little bit more conservative in terms of their finances than previous generations.
Liz, thanks for joining us today. Liz Weston is columnist for NerdWallet, author of the books Your Credit Score, the fifth edition, Deal with Your Debt, and she's in Los Angeles. And you can join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. Still to come, a report that Ford could be selling cars in China in vending machines.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Reuters is reporting that Ford is set to enter a partnership with China-based Alibaba Holdings, and it could mark a radical change in how cars are sold. Let's learn a little more about this with Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge. Paul, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What are we hearing about this car sale?
Well, the car sale, the idea, the partnership between Ford and Alibaba is really, the big picture here is it's a shift to online retail. In other words, what they're really looking at Ford is partnering with Alibaba so that the nature and the way of selling cars can change. China's obviously a huge market, still growing. And the difference is it wouldn't be through dealers, it would be direct. So right from Ford through Alibaba, obviously, but right to the customer.
And we're talking about it's going to be Alibaba. It is going to be a test online and direct auto sales then.
That's right. And by the way, that if you're asking sort of could you do that or pull that off in the United States, the answer is almost certainly not. The dealership network in the U.S., both for Ford and all the majors, is very adamant that nobody should be selling direct for reasons that should be obvious to anybody who understands the way dealerships work. But the way it's going to work in China, theoretically, is one, a customer can get something online through Alibaba, get a Ford motor car online. And the other is that they're thinking of something called the automotive vending machine, where somebody could literally, a customer, could walk up to this tower of vehicles, a multi-story parking garage, and have their vehicle that they want to buy delivered to them right there on the street or to test drive. So there's no more dealer. And the big danger there for dealers is that they lose out not just on car sales, but on auto financing and the other aspects of the traditional business. So profit is really in danger for dealers in China.
But from the manufacturer standpoint, they're thinking maybe they'll sell cars because it'll be easier for customers.
Not only that, yes, that's absolutely right. It's going to be easier for customers. No haggling. There it is. You buy it online. But the other thing is, it's really, frankly, following, not leading, but following a trend in China for more online sales. And car companies, and Ford certainly included, are looking at this trend, and they want to stay right in front of it.
Oh, cars out of vending machines. Just amazing stuff. Thank you. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, joining us. And we'll get a check of the markets from Bloomberg coming up next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, and we...
Now, business news was sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco and Chris, Wall Street is trying for small gains now. The Dow is up 7, the Nasdaq 14, the S&P 2. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down 0.25%. Knowles Corporation shares still leading those losses. The job market is starting to get back to normal, though, after the summer hurricanes. Payroll processor ADP counting 190,000 jobs added to the private sector last month, a pullback from October's big gain, which had been fed in part by the snapback from the storms. Holiday cheer for Brown-Forman, the maker of Jack Daniel's whiskey. It beat analyst targets for earnings last quarter, and shares are up nearly 5%. But UPS shares are down today. That after yesterday's warning about delivery delays this week, the company said it was inundated unexpectedly after Thanksgiving. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.